Joe's on Tuesday, and at FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook, they believe that beating the spread is hard enough. So unlike other sportsbooks, FanDuel Paradise doesn't make you jump through hoops when you want to withdraw your winnings. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code J, that's J-A-Y, so they know I sent you, and be sure to act fast. That's promo code J. 21 plus and present in Illinois and Indiana. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app and use code HILLS when you sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Must be 21 or older, Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hi. Have you been to Burlington? They have incredible deals and amazing styles at up to 60% off other retailers' prices, and no coupons needed. It's your one-stop shop for fall. Go to Burlington.com to find your store. Burlington, love the deals.
You've been camping in your backyard, cycling in your living room. You've been enjoying rain showers in your bathroom, campfires on your TV screen. You've been counting stars and birds from your window and holding family cookouts in the kitchen. Now, get ready to go. Go on a real vacation. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRV.com.
Pro Extra is the Home Depot's free loyalty program built for pros. Members earn perks just for shopping, like new Pro Extra dollars or tool rental perks. Get exclusive benefits every day that save time and money. And here's an extra extra, $20 off your next in-store purchase of $200 or more, just for signing up. Want to save? Join Pro Extra, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Visit the Pro Desk in-store or at homedepot.com/proextra for details.
Hey, Mike Florio in 1 minute on the score.
Your voice. Your vote. In our democracy, they matter. Make yours count. Get registered, learn the issues, and vote by or on November 3rd. Visit vote411.org. This message is furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The 2020 presidential race is upon us. The stakes couldn't be higher, and the outcome might not be clear till long after everyone has voted. Many are predicting a repeat, or worse, of the 2000 election. That year, the presidency came down to a polarizing recount in Florida that ended at the U.S. Supreme Court.
We were faced with an attempted soft coup.
Listen to Fiasco, a Luminary original from the team that brought you Slow Burn. Available now for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm journalist Ben Ryder, and I want to tell you about my new podcast, The Edge. Last year, the Houston Astros were caught in a massive cheating scandal, putting the legitimacy of their 2017 World Series in doubt. I'm talking to people who were there to figure out what happened. Why did the most innovative organization in the history of sports push itself not just to the edge, but over it? Listen to The Edge on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry, I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
Pro Football Talk.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi on The Score.
Mike Florio is on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. He of Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. And he is brought to you by the Berman Auto Group. Visit Berman.com. Mike, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I guess I read the headline wrong. I read Jets releasing Le'Veon Bell. But until they do it, they haven't done it. So what's behind the announcement of an intention to release someone?
We've seen this time and again, where the report comes out or the announcement is made that a player is going to be released, and at some point between that moment and 4 p.m. Eastern, the player is traded to someone else. And I don't think it was a coincidence that in the middle of last night's game, when the NFL world was stopping and taking in the first Tuesday night football game since December 28, 2010, as a result of a blizzard that forced the Vikings and Eagles to play 2 days after they were supposed to, here comes the news that the Jets are releasing Le'Veon Bell, or will release Le'Veon Bell. And even the CBS update during the game got it wrong. James Brown said, the Jets have released Le'Veon Bell. No, you can't release him in the middle of the evening. You can only release him at 4 p.m. the next day. That's when he becomes released. That's when his name is on the official transaction report. So I think this was a last-ditch effort by the Jets to just shake the trees, to see if there's someone out there who thinks that it's better to do a deal with the Jets to get Le'Veon Bell than to compete with other teams that he may be more inclined to play for on the open market. And he's better off getting cut for a variety of reasons, one of which is he gets to pick his next destination. And number two, he gets to keep everything he would have made from the Jets this year and whatever he makes elsewhere and double dip. If he gets traded, that doesn't happen. So Bell should want to be cut. I think the Jets' willingness to move on from him now instead of waiting until the trade deadline, because you could have an injury to a running back at any time and all of a sudden there is a trade market, it just shows how bad things have gotten. They're ready to move on. It'll happen at 4 unless somebody works out a trade for Le'Veon Bell. And that has happened multiple times in the past where the team says guy's going to be cut and before 4 o'clock, guy gets traded.
So assuming that Bell doesn't get traded and he is free to go, where do you think he ends up?
Well, everybody always thinks the Patriots, because the Patriots are always in play for everyone, and I thought the Patriots would maybe sign Leonard Fournette. And really, I think the fact that someone leaked that the Patriots were interested in Fournette is what got the Buccaneers to move as quickly as they did. And here's what happens with the Patriots. If you are a guy in whom the Patriots are interested and word gets out that the Patriots are interested, they're done with you. Because they have all the players and agents intimidated into believing that if it ever gets out the Patriots are interested, they're out. They're just out. And I think that the Patriots' interest was specifically done to get a team like the Buccaneers to bite on Fournette. So maybe we'll start hearing the Patriots are interested in Bell just to get someone else to move. I mean, the Bears would make sense, wouldn't they? Tariq Cohen's gone. The Chiefs would make sense. The Chiefs were interested in him last year. You know, he was almost traded at the deadline in 2019. He told me on PFTPM that the Chiefs, Texans, Packers, and Steelers were among the teams that were interested, but they wanted him to revise his contract, remove some guarantees for this season, and he wouldn't do it. So the Chiefs have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They were interested in Adrian Peterson. They don't have Damian Williams, who opted out. It wouldn't surprise me if the Chiefs make a run. Wouldn't surprise me if the Bears make a run. Any of these contending teams that could use that extra body at least show some interest on a low-risk financial deal, because we don't know where he is right now. But if he's anywhere close to where he was a few years ago, if he can get back there, if he can get motivated, if the pursuit of a potential championship can get him properly focused and driven, it could be a good addition to a team that is currently in contention that could use that extra help.
Since we last talked, the Bears ran their record to 4-1 with an exciting win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and people are still talking about the end of the game and how clearly Tom Brady didn't know what down it was. And it seems like he's come around to half admitting it, using the picture of the four fingers on Instagram to congratulate LeBron James on his fourth championship. But immediately in the aftermath, he denied that he made a mistake, and everybody rushed to protect him. Everyone, from Bruce Arians on down, saying, oh, no, no, he knew. Why couldn't he have just said, yeah, I screwed up?
Yeah, and I don't think you should be allowed to make light of it later when you refuse to admit it at the time. And the fact that Bruce Arians took up for him, it tells me that there was a blowback privately, that there was a consequence behind the scenes to Bruce Arians calling Tom Brady out after the week one loss to the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, the attitude was, hey, this is what Bruce Arians does. Well, there's certain guys you don't do it to. And the fact that he didn't do it to Tom Brady after everyone knew that he got confused about what down it was, and that's inexcusable. When two of your biggest selling points are your brain and your experience, when you lose track of what down it is on a drive where you didn't spike the ball to cause confusion and Troy Aikman tried to take up for him that, well, you know, when you spike it, you think you got four left, you only got three. Well, that's fine, but he didn't spike it, Troy. He did use it four times. He did run a play four times from first and 10. It's just a bad look. And I think it makes it worse when everyone knows what happened and the vanity and the ego of Tom Brady cause him to refuse to admit, which isn't a surprise. I mean, look, what a shock. Tom Brady has a big ego and he's vain. I mean, my God, his hair gets darker every week. Of course he's vain.
It's interesting, though, because there was a lot of Brady theater in that game. It wasn't just the down. It was after the game where Foles apparently looked like he was looking for Brady, and then Brady runs off the field. Philly Twitter blew up at that because, of course, they flash back to the Super Bowl saying that Brady refused to shake Foles' hand because of what happened then. Shaking hands is not a thing anymore, but you know what I'm trying to say. And then we saw him blow up after that ridiculous third quarter, and I thought somebody made a really good point on Twitter saying that if that's Jay Cutler, they focus in on him and keep that camera shot a little bit longer. But just the point of, there was a lot of Tom Brady being a focal point from a drama standpoint and not a football standpoint during that game.
Oh, it was great. And the Nick Foles thing was John Travolta in Pulp Fiction looking around when he heard Uma Thurman's voice, which is fitting because today's the 25th anniversary of the release of Pulp Fiction. But the yelling at the teammates, that's old school Tom Brady. And that's fine as long as you're going to hold yourself accountable as well. And look, he was rattled. It's always been the playbook for beating Tom Brady. You put pressure on him early and often, and usually it's pressure up the middle because that's his default. When he gets pressure around the edge, he's adroit enough to step up, avoid the outside pressure, and still make something happen. What was alarming about last week, one of the rare occasions where it's pressure from the outside, and that may be a sign that he's getting to the point where he can't move like he used to. Now, it's Khalil Mack, and I don't know how many guys can get away from Khalil Mack, especially when he's throwing guys like Tristan Wirfs around like ragdolls. But when it's pressure around the outside, that's something that typically hasn't gotten to Brady. It's the pressure up the middle that gets to him. So that's something to watch until we see more of these games. And there's going to be plenty more nationally televised games with the Buccaneers. What did the pass rush do? Does it get to him? Does he get rattled? And I've been told for years, it's not about his arm. He'll always be able to throw the ball well. The question is, when he's at a point where his legs don't carry him away from pressure, does that become the beginning of the end for Tom Brady? Because if he can't get away from the pressure, he's going to get hit. The more he gets hit, the more likely he's going to get hurt, and the more likely he's going to be Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon and say, I'm too old for this bleep, and walk away.
Oh, two movie references there in that
timely
answer.
Ones too.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, we're talking with Mike Florio in a segment brought to you by Golf Mill Ford, Illinois' largest Ford dealer, beats every deal by at least $500. GolfMillFord.com. It seemed like that the NFL was getting ready to clap back against coaches with even more fines and or punishments for mask slippage and protocol violations, and then it never really materialized. Was the response there? Did the NFL get the kind of compliance they wanted, or did they just kind of chicken out?
I was told last week in the aftermath of John Gruden defiantly not wearing a mask throughout the game after he'd been hit for $100,000. He went loincloth at all times the next week against the Patriots. And then the following week against Buffalo, he had the chin strap that was more like Jowl's catcher for Gruden because he never had it or rarely had it up over his mouth. I was told that the league was going to turn its attention to Gruden and a few other coaches who needed a refresher after the Tennessee situation. The problem is they got so consumed by Tennessee. And the Tennessee issue, outbreak, whatever, it's fascinating in that the league has gone in less than a week from privately telling other teams that the Titans were going to face historic punishment to giving the Titans a pass altogether. And that's where it currently stands. And I was told Monday, you watch, they're never going to punish the Titans. And yesterday, on a conference call with media, Roger Goodell said we're more focused on player safety than punishment. And then he specifically told Jay Feely for use on last night's CBS broadcast that no one from the Titans willingly broke protocol, which means they're not getting punished. So, you know, here's the balance for the NFL. We want to prevent COVID-19 from spreading. We want to have good practices, but we don't want the story to be discipline of COVID-19 violations. We want the focus to be on football, and they swing back and forth. The pendulum goes back and forth weekly as to what's the focus. Is it complying with protocols, or is it focus on football? And I think what happens is they focus on protocol compliance until the commissioner gets upset with it and says, why can't we just focus on football? Then they focus on football until the commissioner gets upset and says, why aren't they following the protocols? And I think that's what's causing this inconsistency in the league office. The commissioner is forcing them by his reaction to any given moment to either blow one way or the other.
That's a fascinating sleight of hand. In what they're doing here. And it's just, it's so football to try in their own way to run this little okey-doke where they're just going to look at this as another thing over which they have triumphed because football, because that's the only prism through which they can see the world is just go at it harder and overcome it, and then it becomes a thing you have overcome until at some point it just gets beyond their control, and I guess this was only the first test of that and not the last.
And they've done this with other things in recent years. They Yep. won't pick a fight that they fear they may lose. There are times where players should be suspended for on-field misconduct. They don't get suspended because they don't want the news cycle all week to be focused on that and the appeal and the aftermath of that. And I think PR affects so much of what they do, so much of how they proceed. And hey, to the Titans' credit, the Titans apparently pushed back, and the NFL has backed off. I mean, there was a general manager who last week said, I think what's going to happen is Mike Vrabel's going to be suspended the rest of the year. John Robinson's going to be suspended the rest of the year. They're going to be fined $10 million, and they're going to lose a first-round draft pick. That was the prevailing sense. The sense was so strong that one GM thought that was going to happen. Now, nothing. It's just amazing to see how quickly they turn. But you know what? Their biggest challenge at this point is getting the pandemic under control. And until every team is in a home market bubble, they're going to be at an ever-present risk of people going home at night, 170 people scattered to their homes, and who knows who's going to catch it, get exposed to it, and bring it to the facility the next day.
It's just a shame, too, because with that attitude came the game last night, and Tennessee then looks even more unscathed because of the final score.
That's right. And they somehow have used, and this just proves that coaches and players who claim they don't listen to outside noise always listen to outside noise in search of anything that can be used to motivate the team, because the Titans somehow found motivation in the criticism they were absorbing for their poor COVID-19 hygiene. And that worked. They mopped the floors with the Bills because they got themselves into this us against the world mentality, all because people were reacting to the apparent likelihood as of last week that the Titans were going to be found at fault. It's fast, and it just shows you they will. It's the Michael Jordan concept. Use anything you can to motivate yourself, and if there's nothing, make something up.
Yeah, I think a virus is a little bit different, but Derrick Henry made it look pretty legit on the field last night with that stiff arm. My goodness.
Well, that's absolutely right. Take a seat to Josh Norman, and Josh Norman is not some tiny little defensive back. He's 6 feet and a couple hundred pounds.
We've seen some good arm moves this week in the NFL.
And here's something else too, and this is a point Chris Sims made earlier today on PFT Live on Peacock. He said that when you see the Titans and the Bills on the field together, the Titans are noticeably larger, and because they've been out of sight for the last 2 weeks, we've kind of not really focused on them. And the Titans have just, for the past few years, they've just kind of been there. They're for real. And we're going to see them, you know, in some games coming up. They got the Steelers in that makeup game. And we're going to see how good this team is. And there's a chance that they're better than anyone realized.
Mike Florio, thanks. We'll talk next week.
See you.
Mike Florio on the Albemarle Ford Hotline, Albemarle Ford in Melrose Park. We have an opportunity ahead of a conversation I'm really looking forward to with Glenn Kenny, the author of Made Men, The Story of Goodfellas. That's at 10:40. We got to talk a little Bears because a bunch of assistant coaches spoke yesterday. There's a significant injury. We don't know exactly how they are going to work through losing James Daniels. And he's also their backup center, too. So that adds an aspect to it. Layla Rahimi is in today on Wednesdays, and we are in studio. We'll talk some Bears next on The Score.
Don't miss Bears Monday on The Score. It's an all-day, can't-miss Bears recap. Listen in as The Score guys react to the Bears-Carolina game. Plus, get analysis from our team of Bears experts, including Olin Krutz, Tom Thayer, Bob Arkish, Anthony Heron, Brad Biggs, Boomer Esiason, and Patrick Manley. Plus, we'll take your calls, too. There's no Monday like a Bears Monday. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. Brought to you by Elmhurst BMW and Loyola Medicine.
Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queens Sportsbook app and use code HILLS when you sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Must be 21 or older, Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
Geico presents Monster Counseling.
Dracula, tell me how you're feeling.
No one understands how lonely it is. No one will even let me into their house. I knock and I knock, but they ignore me.
Uh-huh. What else?
I look in the mirror and I don't even see myself anymore.
If you don't see yourself clearly, can you really expect others to?
I'm having a breakthrough.
It's not easy to be a vampire, but with Geico, it's super easy to switch and save hundreds on your car insurance.
Dan Bernstein here, and as much as I hate to say it, the temperatures are dropping, the leaves are turning, and importantly, pumpkin spice is in coffee shops all over. That tells us summer is over, and the season of ghosts and goblins has arrived. Don't be freaked by the monsters hiding behind your walls. Mold and water damage can be terrifying, but the expert team at Aloha Restoration can help. I know from experience when I needed my house restored, Aloha came out and restored it, and they're good at what they do. So when the ghosts in your basement start causing you trouble, who are you going to call? Aloha Restoration. Learn more at aloharestores.com.
You've been camping in your backyard, cycling in your living room. You've been enjoying rain showers in your bathroom, campfires on your TV screen. You've been counting stars and birds from your window. And holding family cookouts in the kitchen. Now, get ready to go. Go on a real vacation. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRV.com.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is a coordinated monthly test of the broadcast stations in your area. Equipment that can quickly warn you during emergencies is being tested. If this had been an actual emergency, official messages would have followed the alert tone. The Score serves the Northeast Illinois EAS local area. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Pro Extra is the Home Depot's free loyalty program built for pros. Members earn perks just for shopping, like new Pro Extra dollars or tool rental perks. Get exclusive benefits every day that save time and money. And here's an extra extra, $20 off your next in-store purchase of $200 or more, just for signing up. Want to save? Join Pro Extra, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Visit the Pro Desk in-store or at homedepot.com/proextra for details.
We saved serious cash with our Progressive Home and Auto Bundle and used the money to buy a new boat.
Who's ready to water ski?
This is not a real testimonial. Sure, customers can save big money with Progressive, but not enough for a new boat. They'll probably spend it on rent or gas money or maybe one of those little plastic wading pools for the yard.
Ahoy there!
Is what the captain might say on the toy boat in your wading pool.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Truck drivers, it's time to get your career back in gear. Make your new normal a better normal with Snyder, a time-tested carrier. A local Snyder recruiter will host face-to-face and virtual hiring events throughout the month of October in and around the Chicago area with the potential for a same-day job offer. That's face-to-face virtual hiring events throughout the month of October in and around the Chicago area. Get full event and driver job details at SnyderJobs.com/events. That's SnyderJobs.com/events.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on Radio.com? Download the app or head to Radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
MLB insider Josh Nelson.
In the last 2 weeks of the season, where you have to shift now, and as a manager, it goes from making sure that everybody is getting along and playing well together to I need to think about strategy. I need to line up my pitching rotation. I need to start getting my bullpen and understanding what relievers I can go to. And unfortunately for Rick Renteria, it just seemed like every decision that he was making blew up in his face. And that's unfortunate because I thought they had a very good 2020 season, but they finished the last 10 games of the regular season 2-8, and they lost 2 out of 3. They lost the last 2 games after winning game 1 of the wild card series. And it kind of leaves a taste in your mouth that even though this was a good season, the White Sox could have done more.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com on Radio.com Sports Station. You're listening to the Dan Bernstein Show, back in 60 seconds on The Score.
Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app and use code HILLS when you sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000.
Must be 21 or older, Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
Ready to take on that painting project? Ask Sherwin-Williams and get 40% off paints and stains with sale prices starting at $23.09 October 16th through 19th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains, you can give some color love to your bathroom, living room, or every room in your home. Shop in-store or order online for curbside pickup. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I thought offensively, just looking at it, and you start wondering about the sloppiness and where things are at and how to get to where we need to go. I just look back after watching the tape, and the details right now in this offense are not there. So that's our job as coaches, to make sure that we get these freaking details right. And it's as simple as that. To be in a situation like we were yesterday in that second half, I've never been a part of something of 3rd and 17, 3rd and 18, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 24, 3rd and 29, 3rd and 19, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, and 3rd and 9. I've never been a part of that. You know, we got to get that thing there has to get fixed. You know, that's that. So offensively, we got some stuff to do. Until we get our details right on offense, we're going to continue to be this way. So that's my challenge to us as coaches and to us as players, is we get the details right and we start doing that, and we play better football on offense.
His television works. He is seeing what we are seeing, and I love hearing that. They're 4-1, and if he's going to push hard to hold him to that high standard, more power to him. That's Matt Nagy. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Golf Mill Ford, Illinois' largest Ford dealer. Beats every deal by at least $500. GolfMillFord.com. Dan Bernstein here with Layla Rahimi on this Wednesday. And they've got some work to do. They really do. And they're going to have a challenge in the Carolina Panthers, who just seem to be better than the sum of their parts for whatever reason. But you can run on them.
You can, and that's something that I think a lot of people are going to pay attention to, because the Bears have regressed a little bit when it comes to running the ball. We saw it very much in that Tampa game. I don't mind it as much this stretch of the schedule. I think we talked about this last Wednesday, because to me, I think the Colts are a very good team, exceptional on defense. And to be Tom Brady, I take it. But do you want this to be a one-dimensional offense simply because you lost Tariq Cohen and you like passing? No, it's not going to do anybody any good. They're back to 27th in the NFL in rushing yards per game. Here we are thinking they had made great strides. And just like that, they're back to where we anticipated them to be. You and I were talking before the show, and I know we don't want to get too play call-y. I'll respect Hub when it comes to that. But I just don't see the need for a lot of these plays that start 5 and 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage, especially when you know your offensive line might not be able to buy you enough time, especially now with the injury to James Daniels. To me, that's difficult. It's difficult to make that play work because you have to run 5 yards to get back to the line of scrimmage. If you're lucky, he talks about all those third down situations. I found myself watching that game going, this is one of those stupid quarters and stupid drives where like people mess around. And then the next thing you know, you run some dumb screen pass on like 3rd and 27 and you get the yards you need. But that didn't happen. But like to me, the third down situation has been prevalent. It wasn't just in that game. And it's because of stuff like that.
And this is a week to not overthink it. This is a week to trust your zone schemes. Inside zone run, outside zone run. Let a guy pick a hole and stick his foot in the ground and turn it upfield and let Montgomery do what he does. Obviously, they're going to have to block for him. And Bears offensive line coach and I believe nominal running game coordinator Juan Castillo spoke yesterday. And he was asked for a specific example of how his offensive line can improve for this week.
I think more than anything for us, Dan, is just the consistency and fundamentals. I think that's part of it, too. I think when coach talks about that is, you know, the more consistent you are in your fundamentals, the better you play, the better you grade out. For us, in our part, as we know, you know, our thing is that we're just trying to be more consistent in our fundamentals. If we're more consistent in our fundamentals, that allows us to win our one-on-ones and do our job, which is what we strive for.
Mark Potash.
Hey, Juan, in the first, you know, 5 games, the run game has been very effective against average fronts and not very effective against good fronts. When you can't make a lot of changes on an offensive line, how do you get better, besides just working harder at it, how do you get better against better fronts?
You know what? I'll give you an example, Mark. Have you ever written a bad paper or a bad story?
Never.
Never?
Yeah.
You know what? That's right. You know, you hit it on the nail, you know, in your mind. But other people, the critics, just like y'all, you know, you had some good stories and some bad stories. So the thing is, you know, what do you do to try to get a better story? You know, well, sometimes the subjects are a little harder to write about, so it becomes a bigger challenge. So I think it's really, when you look at that, Mark, it's the same thing. Our objective now is to make sure that we keep getting better. You know, so it's work in progress. It's a progression. That's what Andy Reid taught me at Philadelphia. You know, it's not today or tomorrow. It's a progression. It's 16 weeks, and you want to be ready every week, get better and better and better.
Dan?
Juan, on that 17-yard strip sack in the fourth quarter that kind of took you out of touchdown range and put you back for a field goal, what did Bobby do wrong on that play, and what is the coaching point for you in correcting that?
Dan, I think this will be a good subject for you and I to talk about. Maybe, after, you know, I'll take you to dinner or something in the spring, you know, and we can talk about pass protection.
I love all of that. I love Juan Castillo's vibe. He's such like a quintessential coach.
Yeah, but that didn't, with the whole comparing it to a writer writing a story, it's like that fell flat. I'm sorry. That doesn't work, and that was just somebody trying to, you know, filibuster his way to the end of a question.
I don't buy it, though.
Was trying to be cute, but answer the question.
Yeah.
Answer the question. How other than just saying you're going to go back to the fundamental, I mean, it's just empty coach speak, because you're not going to say this guy has to do this. This guy's got to get in the weight room, or this guy's feet are too slow.
Yeah.
And we need to help over here, and it's taking away from what we do over there. Those are the real answers that we're not getting.
Well, but we haven't gotten those from any of the Bears coaches. So I don't see that really changing. Do you?
No.
I'm not surprised that was the answer. He doesn't want to call anybody out individually, but we can. But the bottom line is you have to have better linemen if you're going to get this stuff done. And unfortunately, they suffered a huge loss with Daniels.
Who's the backup center right now?
Yeah. Do we know? Is it Ifedi maybe? Like, how does that work? Who's playing out of position?
He was a tackle.
Right.
Who's moving to guard.
But they're moving everybody around, so we don't. Who is it?
You don't want an emergency center. The Bears lived through that with Matt Slauson. Remember when they had to use Slauson as their center for a while? And I mean, obviously, Whitehair's good at what he does, but that is, you take some of that stuff for granted. You don't have to put your long snapper in there at 180 pounds or whatever he is to hold people off.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's a question that has to get asked today at Halas is who's the new backup center now, right? That has to be addressed.
It is. This is an opportunity for them, if they want to get back against the Panthers, to initiating a little bit of power run.
Yeah,
get some stuff going downhill, or get your zone scheme established, get a lead. And that's what's critical here too, is we can't talk about the running game without talking about the scoreboard. And the moment they're chasing, they're not running. They'll run here and there, but it's out of the conversation at that point. Get the lead, and then you bleed the clock with a successful pounding running game.
Yeah, it's not sexy, but boy, does it get the job done, and it's something that I like to see. We mentioned the Panthers' run defense. Some numbers for you, 25th in the NFL. A couple numbers from excellent running backs, but they are encouraging. Todd Gurley, 121 yards last week. Leonard Fournette, 103 yards in week two. And big yards per carry, too. So, do I see things happening like that for the Bears? I don't necessarily know. But I like your chances for a lead draw here and there to set the offensive rhythm. And, the Foles wins have all come from behind. So you want to see him play with a lead, too, if you can.
Yeah, I don't draw conclusions from Nick Foles.
He's just ineffectual to you? He's just like a guy?
No, it's not that. It's that nothing matters. Is that nothing good means the next thing is going to be good, and nothing bad means the next thing is going to be bad. It always resets immediately. It always resets to it's Nick Foles, and kind of anything can happen. And I guess I'm sort of resigned to my fate with that, where I nothing's predictive.
Yeah, Fox National postgame show after Thursday Night Football called him streaky. I think that's fair.
I guess, but not really, because he can make an awful throw and it doesn't. Streaky means that it assumes that one thing affects the next. Streaky assumes that you trend in a certain direction, and he's really not. I mean, he's just kind of, sometimes he's really good and sometimes he's not really good.
You ever heard the Jimmy Johnson phrase, give me the quarterback who doesn't make the most big plays, but the one who makes the least bad ones? He comes to mind when I think of Foles.
But he makes his share of bad ones.
Yeah.
He does both. I guess what Jimmy Johnson's talking about is the
turnovers.
That is also the trap of efficiency.
Yeah.
And there was a wonderful piece The Ringer did years ago using Brian Hoyer as an example of how to efficient your way into unproductiveness. That if you make these underneath throws and you work between the 20s, and you don't get it in the end zone, or you're not. Foles is the opposite of that. Foles is big balls. I mean, he makes the three. He puts his guys in a position to go get it and make a play. I what I like about him is that you can win games with him. You can win a Super Bowl with him because he's got big balls and because he isn't just trying to show you how efficient everything is. And that's the coaches who strive for that efficiency. Sometimes forget about punching the ball in the end zone.
Yeah. Take the top off the defense. Go for an explosive play. Take some risks, if you will.
Right.
I think that's the G-rated version of that phrase.
Yeah, I think that's right.
No, and we've seen Nagy do that both with Foles and with Trubisky. He tried to get that top off the defense type of play, but
Trubisky missed too many of them.
Well, and then Foles came out against Tampa and missed quite a few, too.
Next up, we're going to have some fun. It's going to be our version of the Midday Midway today, an interview with author Glenn Kenny, who wrote just a crackling book, Made Men, The Story of Goodfellas, that is out now. He's a writer and critic at the New York Times and RogerEbert.com. If you are in any way a fan of the movie Goodfellas, you are not going to want to miss the next segment on The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to two on The Score.
Chuck Pagano. I love the game that he called. I love that they diversified their blitzing, that you saw some zero coverage stuff yesterday. We're just sending everybody. You saw them do all sorts of things where you get a James Waters sack. Like, I thought it was one of his best games as defensive coordinator for the Bears.
Lawrence Holmes noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com on radio.com sports station.
This segment is brought to you by Door Systems.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Hey, America, how do you brush your teeth? Well, if you're like 80% of Americans, you use a manual toothbrush. It's time to toss that plastic drugstore toothbrush and make the move from brushing to bursting with the Burst Sonic Toothbrush. Burst packs some serious tech into the coolest looking toothbrush you've ever seen. We're talking 33,000 vibrations per minute, 4 weeks of battery life per charge, and the Burst Sonic Toothbrush is clinically proven to remove up to 10 times more plaque than a regular toothbrush. That's 10 times more plaque removed, people. Best of all, you can now get a Burst Sonic Toothbrush with an unbelievable special offer. To unlock your special deal, just text WHITE to 323232 right now. Don't go another day brushing manually. Text WHITE to 323232 to unlock your special burst deal, plus get free shipping. Text the word WHITE to 323232 now. Text WHITE to 323232.
Five of football's in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week six. There is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of week six, DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried the DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app yet, head to the App Store now, because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to receive a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. On top of that great sign-up offer, DraftKings offers great odds boosts every Sunday to help you make it rain. And if football isn't for you, DraftKings is giving you, the basketball fan, a 200% profit boost on any basketball market once you sign up. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. So download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app now and use the code Chicago when you sign up, and you get up to $1,000. That's code Chicago to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time. Only with DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app and use code HILLS when you sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Must be 21 or older. Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
Have you been to Burlington? They have incredible deals and amazing styles at up to 60% off other retailers' prices, and no coupons needed. It's your one-stop shop for fall. Go to Burlington.com to find your store. Burlington, love the deals.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
While Congress works to provide relief for shuttered music venues across the country, Goose Island continues to do its part to help save Chicago's small independent music venues.
Here we are tonight at Thalia Hall, the jewel of Pilsen.
We're at Martyrs on Lincoln Avenue.
Here at Subterranean.
Here we are at the Beat Kitchen.
We are here at the Hideout. Let's hear it once again for Chubas, huh?
Since 1988, when Goose Island Beer Company started serving beers to Chicagoans, we've drank, danced, and sang along at these venues that make up our city's music scene. Without these clubs, Chicago wouldn't be the same. These places bring us together. So in their honor, Goose Island is offering a special brew to support the Chicago Independent Venue League. Civil Pale Ale is available exclusively at the Goose Island Tap Room at 1800 West Fulton Street while supplies last. Please visit gooseisland.com for tap room hours and Civil Pale Ale availability so you can help Goose Island save our stages.
In 1 minute, we are going to talk all about the movie Goodfellas with Glenn Kenny, who just wrote the book about it.
Look around. Could your home decor use a fall refresh? Then look around HomeDepot.com. You'll see furniture from sofas to ottomans and decor from pillows to linens, all with free and flexible delivery and easy online returns. More fall savings means more ways to bring out your style. Get 30% off select furniture and decor
and settle into a new season at HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. Free standard shipping and residential delivery on most orders over $45 made at HomeDepot.com. Exclusions apply, valid through October 21st.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I know I'd go from rags to riches.
To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States.
Love is all that ever meant.
Even before I first wandered into the cab stand for an after-school job, I knew I wanted to be a part of them. It was there that I knew that I belonged. And to me, it meant being somebody in a neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted. They double-parked in front of a hydrant, and nobody ever gave them a ticket. In the summer, when they played cards all night, nobody ever called the cops.
Only stats. So what?
Will I go from rags
to Tony Cicero.
This beat up can I see kid.
My fate is up to you.
Tootie.
Tootie
ran the cab stand and La Bella Vista Pizzeria and a few other places for his brother Paul, who was the boss over everybody in the neighborhood.
Hey, Paulie.
Paulie might have moved slow, but it was only because Paulie didn't have to move for anybody.
Sports Radio 670, The Score. Dan Bernstein here with Layla Rahimi. And I don't think I have to tell you the movie that was just excerpted. And it is the subject of a new book, and a terrific book, called Made Men, The Story of Goodfellas, that is out now from Hanover Square Books. It was written by this man, Glenn Kenny, who is on Twitter at Glenn_Kenny. He of the New York Times and RogerEbert.com, who's joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you doing, Glenn?
Dan, so great to be here. Thank you. I'm doing fine out here in Brooklyn.
Well, why and how did you think that this was the time for this book, after these many years, to go back and revisit it and relive it and talk to everybody involved? What made this project right?
Well, you know, nowadays, especially with social media, people are always celebrating anniversaries. It's a big deal. I mean, they're not celebrating personal anniversaries, but the access we have to release dates and all this other stuff means that we can find out instantaneously what great movies were released on what days. So, you know, one of the things that was a motivating factor, certainly for the publisher, was the fact that the 30th anniversary of the release of Goodfellas was happening this year, 2020. So then they meet me, a guy who wants to write a book about Goodfellas. You know, I'd had this proposal for this book bopping around for a few years. And in 2018, I brushed it off a little, and my agent and I started shopping it around anew, and we found my friend, my new friend Peter Joseph, the editor of Hanover Square Press, showed it to a bunch of people at a meeting, and all they could do was sit around and quote lines from the movie, and he saw, well, this is a good sign. Let's move this along. And so I was asked to contrive this book, which had been, you know, kind of a passion project. The book opens with me in 1989 meeting Martin Scorsese for the first time while he's editing Goodfellas. So the movie's been in my consciousness since before it even came out. And Scorsese has been long one of my favorite American filmmakers.
Yeah, you're not the only one by any means. What was it like being in his presence then? And yeah, that's what grabbed me, was just the prologue was even so compelling. Tell us what that meeting was like and just getting to know him.
Well, one of the things about it was, and I think I do try and convey this in my prologue, is that, you know, when I met him in December of 1989, while he was editing Goodfellas, he was Martin Scorsese, but he still wasn't yet capital, you know, all caps Martin Scorsese. You know, he was working from the Brill Building, which was, you know, a headquarters for a lot of music publishing concerns. His office was not lavish by any stretch of the imagination. One of the reasons he was in there was because it was also where there were some editing facilities housed, so he didn't have to, like, go from one place to the other to do his work. And he was in this big loft space with a little corner enclosure, which was his private office, as opposed to, his much, you know, subsequently went to much more lavish quarters. You know, he had gone through a bad stretch over the 1980s where he was considered box office poison, and people were telling authors like Nick Pileggi, don't work with him, he'll sink you. So he's always been a energetic, talkative, articulate person. He's very passionate about movies. The reason I went to see him was to talk about, I was working at a magazine then called Video Review, and we ran reviews of Laserdiscs and VHS tapes of movies on video. And, you know, we were there to talk about video as a aspect of film preservation, which he was very passionately involved in at the time, much, you know, which didn't help make him a richer man. He sunk a lot of his own money into his early work with the Nonprofit Film Foundation, which to this day does incredible work as a film preservation and restoring body, as well as his World Cinema Foundation. But I had admired his films. You know, I was 13 when I saw Mean Streets, and I'm from an Italian-American background, and I went to see it with a buddy of mine. We snuck in because it was an R-rated movie, but I was tall enough to pass for 17. It was funny. We could get into R-rated movies, but we never went to see any racy stuff. We were so devoted to cinema that we only saw stuff like Chinatown and Mean Streets. But we went and we saw the movie, and from the very beginning, the opening sequence with the home movies on the screen and the Phil Spector song on the soundtrack, my buddy and I kind of looked at each other and say, this is the guy. This is our guy. As urban fellas from of Italian-American extraction, he got us and we got him. So he'd been a longtime favorite for a lot of other reasons as well, obviously.
You make a point of noting the way he connects to the viewer, not just through the wonderful movements of the camera and the famous Steadicam tracking shots, but through both music and food. And yeah, the texture of music and food, and how his own mother was literally making the Sunday gravy that we're seeing in the third act, and why is he so literate in speaking also not just the visual language but these pan-sensory, multi-sensory languages?
You know, it's interesting because Scorsese is always trying when he makes a film to find his own personal connection to it. You know, Mean Streets was not the story of his young adulthood, but it's close to the story of his young adulthood, and it takes place in a setting that was where his young adulthood was spent. Similarly, Raging Bull, about an Italian-American boxer in the Bronx. He knows these people. He knows what they do. He's not a gangster. He doesn't want to be a gangster. But, you know, when he was watching films with his buddy Jay Cox, the critic and screenwriter, old gangster films from the 30s, he'd look at Jay and say, we like these guys. Why do we like these guys so much? And as an Italian, you know, and his entryway into the world of criminality of Goodfellas is through the things that he shares in common with those people. And one of the things that Henry Hill was hugely into and excited about was making food. He was a self-trained cook of some distinction. Even going into his days, once he turned rat, so to speak, he would sit around cooped up with FBI guys, you know, and they were all bored, and he'd entertain them by making them an exquisite lobster fra diavolo. And this, of course, is part of Scorsese's own culture. In his movie Italian American, a short documentary about his parents, he ends it with a recipe from his mom. I remember that recipe very well because when she's making tomato sauce, she puts the whole tomatoes in the blender and purees them. And I'm like, well, if it's good enough for Catherine Scorsese, it's good enough for me. That influenced my own cooking. So, you know, using food and the communal gathering around food, that's kind of an Italian-American staple. And so by focusing on that in Goodfellas, he's kind of like showing his own affinity for these people. And as far as the music is concerned, you know, he's a rock and roller. A lot of these gangsters were not rock and rollers, but he wants you to see the way he sees, as he's said many times in interviews, and he also wants you to hear what he hears. And the music is not there so much as to signal what these guys were listening to, but to provide a pulse beat, you know. So when Robert De Niro is sitting in that bar, his character Jimmy Conway trying to decide whether to kill Maury or not, and you hear Sunshine of Your Love on the jukebox, Scorsese justifies it by saying, well, these people hung out in bars, and bars at that time had this song on their jukebox. wasn't necessarily something they put their quarter into here. But it's all about the rhythm of that song and the pulse beat of its correspondence to this character's own thought. And that's something that runs like a thread throughout Goodfellas. Well, you know, it's signaling the place and time, certainly, the Phil Spector songs. And a lot of the songs are songs that the by musicians the gangsters listen to, a lot of Italian pop, a lot of Jerry Vale. It's all there. So, you know, that's kind of a through line with sound that's a correspondence to the vision. And it also kind of gives the film a separate consciousness that's kind of not quite Scorsese's, not quite the characters, but a kind of amalgam of both that's meant to make a direct connection to the audience.
As a fan of the film, what was your favorite detail that you learned in any of these interviews? And there's so many wonderful little details. I loved hearing Michael Imperioli talk about being on set for the first time with De Niro and arriving sort of in character as Spider and how much De Niro appreciated that with his professionalism at such a young age. But what did you learn that was kind of like an oh, wow?
Well, I did learn one thing that I learned that, you know, the amazing Copacabana Steadicam shot, which is, goes several minutes and is a really elaborate piece of staging and shooting. They went through seven or eight takes on that. And it wasn't because the staging and the shooting was insufficient for their purpose, but because Henry Youngman playing himself actually kept flubbing his famous "Take my wife, please" line as soon as the camera swerved over to him. But that's not the most amazing thing to me. The most amazing thing is on the day they shot that, that wasn't the only thing they shot. You'd think a shot like that would take all day to do, but no, they only had the interior of the Copa for 2 days. So they got that shot, and then they did a bunch of the other shots they needed for Copa scenes, because they do go to the Copa several times in the film, and they did all that. You know, they did more setups that day. He worked long days. The prop guy, Bob Griffin, told me he was so irritated one day when they were out at the beach club where Henry tries to sign for the meal and gets rebuffed. And no, tries to pay cash for the meal and gets rebuffed and told he has to sign for it. Then they had to go all the way from Long Island out to some set in Manhattan where they're doing the scene where Joe Pesci kills Stax. And then Scorsese wants to restage the whole scene from what they had originally set up. So he remembers that being a long day. It was a movie that had a lot of long days, for sure. But the Copa sequence, I thought, well, that had to eat up a whole day, but it didn't.
Yeah, it's just, it's outstanding cinematography, and you don't think about the efficiency at all. One of your points that I thought you made was really good in the book was talking about archetypes and how you say Henry Hill begat Tony Soprano. And I told Dan a little bit earlier today, I wonder if Karen from the movie, in a way, is kind of the original Karen now that we talk about. But I don't know. Both could be argued, but definitely Henry Hill.
I don't actually think so. I think Karen Hill is probably somewhat more socially
adept,
flexible, or adept than the Karens that we see on today. Karen, you know, Karen now lives a very quiet life. And wants to keep that life quiet. As I mentioned in the book, I was actually able to, Henry Hill had siblings who were not featured in the movie. The reason that Henry Hill's wheelchair-bound brother, Michael, is featured in the movie is because he's the only one of three brothers and sisters who gave permission. And he kind of wanted to, I can't speak to his motives because he died before the film actually came out, but I think, he was a spina bifida patient, and he lived longer at that time than any other spina bifida patient ever had.
Wow.
And I think he wanted to be associated with his brother because perhaps he knew his passing was imminent and he wanted to achieve some sort of immortality there. But his other brother, Joe Hill, I had a few conversations with him, which were both revealing and very moving. And toward the end of it, you know, I had been interested in contacting Karen Hill. I did really want to speak to her for the book. And Joe said that Henry's kid, Greg, his feeling, and he kind of counsels his mother in the same way, is enough, because as entertaining as Henry Hill's story is, you know, especially in the later days of his alcoholism and abusiveness, he was not a pleasant person to be around. And there's a lot of ambivalence about him and his legacy as a person. And I think, you know, she wants to go back. She worked as a beautician after witness protection. And I think she's trying to get something along those lines together. But she's she did speak to Nick Pileggi for the book Wise Guy, upon which Goodfellas was based. And I think that her inclination is just to stay put now. And no, she's not. She's definitely, you know, when you talk about the Karens we talk about on social media, they're more often than not captured on iPhones. And I think Karen Hill in both real life and the fictional version of it is not someone who's apt to make a public scene nowadays.
Glenn Kenny, a wonderful book, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me. It was great talking to you. I could have gone on longer. Great to talk to you.
That's Glenn Kenny, the author of Made Men, The Story of Goodfellas. I recommend it highly. It's just, I could talk all day about some of these details in these interviews and just the psychological profiles of so many people involved, the real-life people and the actors and where the two meet.
Oh, yeah, just the scene where in jail they're slicing garlic with the razor blade, or the fact that